Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
It is indeed time to welcome back to Sports Talk once again the man who knows all, tells all, shows all about the great outdoors in South Carolina, Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources, another edition of SC Wild. If you want to reach out to the Major tonight, just give us a call, 888-898-2525, South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number, into SC Wild from DNR with Major Billy Downer. Major, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Always a pleasure to be with you tonight, Phil, on this, I guess we call it crisp nights now.
Yeah.
It's got a little cooler again. Enjoying a little fire of the last two nights. Been nice. Good time in South Carolina to finish up turkey season in the upstate with really cold mornings in game zones 1 and 2. Of course, we are into the final days of turkey season. Looking at now that we would probably be the 10th is going to be our last day, you know, for the season in the upstate. Those that if you're in the other parts of the state, you know that your season's over, but we've got, 7 days left in the upstate. Today's the 3rd, so the 10th is when it wraps up in game zones 1 and 2. So there are folks still out there trying for a turkey. Again, as we talked about last time, sometimes it's easier this time of year, sometimes it's harder.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on how the birds have been. But been a good season so far. I think it's every season's a good season. But if you define your season by taking a turkey, it depends on your hunt. For me, it's just about hearing birds. And I was able to go on 2 successful hunts and take a young man on his first one. So that was good enough for me. Got to work the bird, hear the bird in the roost. Bird came down, you know, works too. It was great. That was a great hunt.
So you just like to see the turkeys. I mean, you're not necessarily out there for the kill. You just like to hear them, see them, and smell them.
I want to hear them. I definitely want to hear them. And I want to see them strutting. That's just the thing. I want to see that gobbler strut. I want to, you know, I want to see him dragging those drag feathers, and I want to see him in full dance mode. Just get that whole tail feather out there and fanning. That's the best. When he gobbles, that's even better.
When you take your turkey call and you do your thing with your turkey call and the turkey responds to you, is that an extra additional surge of excitement?
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah.
Especially when you hear one and you don't expect to hear one.
Mm-hmm.
They're close to you. They're behind you. Ooh, it makes your skin crawl. Things blow up like that. But, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we really got I want to take a moment in the show to really put a spotlight on. We talked about the last couple shows. We've talked about the boating bill,
mm-hmm.
Boater education, and it did get third reading in the House today. So, it has passed with some amendments. We'll see where it goes from there. Of course, the Senate and the House get back together and confer on that. But we're very happy to see that bill go through the process. Feel like we'll have a safer boating community in years to come. A lot of thanks goes out to a lot of people. You know, we've had Morgan Kaiser on here and her family with her mom so many times. But you know, there are others out there, Mr. and Ms. Randall Smith, who lost their son so many years ago in the 90s that have been – don't know if there's anybody else that has given more to make boating safer than they have. They just – they've worked very hard over the last – shoot, that's – it's literally 20-plus years since 97. So 25, 27, 26 years, they have worked very tirelessly. Again, not to put anybody to the side because there are several families that have stepped up, but you want to mention those names because they really, those two families have done a lot this particular year. And again, the the Smiths have been so good at this for many years. But anyway, we're glad to see the voting bill push forward. We will see where it ends up. But again, looking forward to a safer boating season coming up. And we're going to close the show talking about boating since boating season is in full swing with 80-degree weekends. The last few weekends, we had boats out in March and April, and now we're in May, and Memorial Day is right around the corner, starting the 100 daily days of summer, as we always talk about. But we want to talk about some boating safety items tonight, remind folks about when they get their boat out, titles and all those things. But hit real quickly on fishing, crappie are still biting pretty good on your area lakes. A lot of the guides are out with crappie fishing still. Stripers, in and out Lake Murray, other lakes as well. Bass tournaments, had the big bass tournament this past weekend. They went on Lake Murray and had a really good time the week before on Lake Murray. Came to Lake Marion and really struggled. Went into the final day, I heard the top three teams had only set, two fishermen had 70 pounds for their total going into the final day, and that's just really low. Really struggling, it doesn't sound that low, but when you look at a five fish limit, and several days of fishing, and then you see the next after the top three, it drops down to 15 pounds, almost drastic. Just a lot of difference in the fishing there on Lake Marion this last weekend, that tournament. Not really sure what was going on, but a lot of people struggled in it. Top three, and then after that, it just kind of fell off. Again, area lakes, crappie and striper this time of year doing pretty well. We're going to the football season coming up in the summer on Lake Murray, as we call it. You catch your first few and get out. But that's kind of where fishing's at. On the coast, I've heard some really good, we had a really highlight when some of our officers made a really good case on Spanish mackerel. So apparently Spanish mackerel are biting because this gentleman was way over the limit. highlighted that. Did a really good job. The officers down there working that case. But so inshore fishing, this time of year, flounder start biting pretty good. Not quite soon enough for doing your flounder gigging yet, but that's going to come. But your redfish, your speckled trout, those fish, the bites coming up, doing very well. Inshore sheephead are coming in off the wrecks. They're on structure inshore as well, on the jetties. A lot of folks doing real well there, and that will only get better in the weeks to come. So that's a basic fishing report for us right now. Offshore, I think April's been the month for doing some of your mahi-mahi off the coast, and haven't heard a lot of reports. I'm sure it's getting better. May right now probably still pretty good. Offshore, we're talking 65 miles off. Wahoo, those kind of fish now are out there to be caught. Again, looking for fresh weed lines and getting under some shade there in the big water, anything trash, and you'll find these fish floating up under all that structure, whatever you can find out there on the water. That's our fishing report. But let's talk about some boating fields. We always do.
Mm-hmm.
We are heading hard into boating season. Everybody's getting their boats out. I see boats for sale left and right. I'm even looking for a boat myself, so trying to upgrade a little bit.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for?
Well, when you start going out looking for a boat, so what do you look for in a boat? That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
How big do you want to go? Because you go big or go home. Are you going to go like the rest of my friends that have a 22, 25-foot boat with a 250, 350 on the back, or two 200s on the back? You're looking at $150,000 to $200,000. That's beyond what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a 17-foot boat, runabout, great for fishing, good for just spending time with a small family, doing fishing and cruising at night or in the evening hours on the water. Just a basic 17-foot center console with a 90 on the back. A lot of boats fit that bill. Your Key West, your Boston Whaler, which my old Montauk was my favorite, your Scouts, your 172s, your Key West 1720s. Those are boats that fit that mold pretty well and are very popular on the coast. And you see a lot of those out there, but You look at boats today and go looking at a brand new boat, you're looking around for a 17-foot boat like that. You're looking at $38,000 plus for a small boat like that, what we call a relatively small boat, but a boat that's big enough to take some rough water and get you in a little bit. Not saying you're not going to get wet, not saying you're going to get beat a little bit with a boat like that, but that's kind of your minimum when you're going big water or going in, on the coastal waters a little bit, something you can be stable in. John boats, John boats are still king on the river and the swamps. Your John boats, they're in the $14,000-$15,000 range for a 16-foot John boat with a 25 on the back, with a tiller steering and, a basic trailer. Mm-hmm. So those are things we look for as you're looking for boats. But, yeah, I'm looking at the center console market, not going to go up there to the big T-tops and not quite yet and try to start small and see where we are. But as you look for boats right now, one of the things, as you're in the boat market, if you're looking for boats, things you need to be cautious of and look for is you want to make sure that if you buy a boat, that the person you're purchasing the boat for has that boat title in their name. And if they don't have the titles to produce for you, you can go to the department at one of our offices and you can verify that boat is in their name so you're not buying a boat that's not registered to the person you're buying it from. You can take the registration number. They can verify that for you. But that's one of the big no-nos is typically when you're buying a boat, you want that owner that you're buying from to have the titles. In South Carolina, we're a boat title and state, so it requires you to have a title on the boat and a title on the motor. And you want to make sure that the person selling you the boat has the titles in hand. Can it be done without that? Yes, it can. But those create questions. Why don't they have titles? How do you know that boat's in their name? The registration card, is it in their name? Have they paid the taxes on the boat? Fortunately, we've changed the law now so that you're not required to pay back taxes on a boat that were owed. You're only required to pay the taxes when you buy the boat. So now if you go buy a boat, again, you want to make sure the person selling the boat has the title for the boat and has the title for the motor, if you're buying a boat and motor. A lot of people put a lot of energy into if you're buying a boat, make sure that boat, the motor hadn't been in salt water that much. Well, if you're on the coast in Charleston, you're not going to find a boat that hadn't been in salt water. So you got to take a look at the motor. Mm-hmm. Take the cowling off, the cover off the boat. Look at the back of the motor. Is there any rust on the outside of the motor? Open the cowling up, which is the cover. Take it off. Look at the motor itself. Has it got white coloring? Has it lost, has it got a lot of corrosion? Do your points, your spark plugs have a lot of corrosion or rust on them? If they do, that's not a boat you want, a motor you want to get, or it's a motor you're going to buy and have a lot of work with.
Is the white coloring good or bad?
It's bad. That is corrosion.
Okay.
White coloring is corrosion. And that happens from salt air, and it reacts with the aluminum and metal on the motor, the block. Engine block, you get that white corrosion in there. Mm-hmm. You'll see rust and things, a lot of corrosion around your points on your spark plugs. Those are things to look for. If your motor or cowling is clean underneath, that's a good check mark moving forward. You want to look at your boat on the hull ID. Make sure it hadn't been scratched off. Somebody trying to hide that. Mm-hmm. Look on the motor bracket. That's where you're going to find the serial number for the motor. Look there. Make sure that that motor bracket has got a serial number on it and it's not been fouled off or messed with. Remember this, if a boat deal seems too good to be true, it probably is. Deb was always right about that. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. So let your conscience be your guide. But again, as you're looking at boats, you want to look at things like that on the boat as far as the motor. Now, when you get to the boat, looking at your hull, getting inside the boat. If a boat's been sitting out a long time in the weather, you want to make sure the boat hadn't been holding water and the floor gets soft.
Mm-hmm.
Some boats, the floor gets soft. It actually, if you stand on it, it'll move a little bit. That's a bad sign. That means the floor is falling apart. Not good. You want to check, electronics. Check your wiring. Things like that. Look at that on the boat. Look at your lights. Things like that. The best thing to do, if you're going to buy a boat, is get them to start the motor up. Get up. Put at least one of your water cups on the outside of that, on the outside of your motor, so you can run it with water running, and cut that motor on, make sure it starts, make sure it runs, and sounds generally okay. If you can get somebody to meet you to landing and put the boat in the water, even better. That's the best scenario. Sometimes hard to do that, and that's okay. And the third piece of the pie you're looking at is you want to look at the trailer, because getting that boat from A to B, you need a good trailer. Look at the trailer, look up on it, look for rust, look at the springs, which is what's over the wheel, to make sure the springs aren't rusted through. Make sure that your bunks, which is the wood boards that your boat sits on, that the brackets aren't rusted through. Those are good things to look at. The front of the boat, making sure that your winch stand is in good solid shape. And you can let go, you can take the boat and undo it from the winch stand and just shake that winch stand, take pressure off of it, and see if it shakes real bad. I'm going to tell you, don't worry about the lights, because as a good friend of mine told me, trailer lights are an abomination. They're only right when you leave the store. They're never right again. And that's pretty much the truth.
But I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you, that's an important part of this whole deal, right? Because you've talked about before having those trailer lights working, because you're putting yourself at risk in terms of an accident, and also, of course, getting a ticket if your lights aren't working, right?
Right. So, you know, that's going to be your driving laws, DOT rules. You want to make sure that your lights on trailer work. You don't want somebody running into your boat you just bought, or boats you've had for years. You don't want them run into it. So make sure your trailers do work. Definitely your brake lights. Turn signals aren't as important as the brake lights and the running lights. When you're running down the road and you cut your lights on, those lights cut on. Definitely the brake lights work. So when you hit the brakes, they can see the brakes. And the bigger the boat you get, the more important those lights are, because if they can't see your taillights, if you got a big boat, like a 20-foot boat, they're not going to see your taillights.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hit the brakes, you better make sure your trailer lights are working. Make sure they're plugged up and working. But again, they're always a challenge, because you're always putting them in the water. Now it's gotten a lot better now that we're using LED lights. They tend to last a lot longer. But people will still shake their heads, because electronics will get bad. If you put it in salt water enough, the wire's going to corrode, and they'll quit working, don't matter what kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never, ever seen a light that was truly waterproof. I don't care what it says. They're talking about the light's waterproof. Sure it is. Maybe the first two times, but it will go bad inevitably every time. So those are just things to think about.
Major, real quick before you move on. Sorry, one more thing with the trailer. Would you mind going into, in South Carolina, whether you need to make sure there's a title for that boat trailer?
You do not. And we're not a state that requires a tag on a trailer. If you go out of state, you get on Facebook Marketplace, you may find boats from other states that require, North Carolina requires a tag on the trailer, and the people have to have titles. In our state, we don't title trailers, so that's not a big concern in this state. But it is in other states that you will buy from, particularly when you get on Marketplace and look outside of this state, you will see that. Good mention that you said that, though, because the next thing I want to talk about is we talked about buying a boat in South Carolina. Let's talk about outside of South Carolina. Georgia to our south, North Carolina to our north. They do not title motors. So those are things you got to be careful about. Florida doesn't title motors. And it's not a dig at the state, but that's one less thing to track that motor. So you got to be real careful when you're buying a motor that it is not stolen. Because when it's not titled, there's no you want to prove that you're buying the motor that it's for that boat. Someone hadn't taken that motor from someone or whatever else. That's why we've been a title state for so many years. The titles just help us verify that the motor is indeed, it's titled to someone. In states where it's not titled to them, the motor has no really proof other than a bill of sale from the original dealer they bought it from, maybe. But so that can be a little question mark. Not you can't buy a good boat from out of state. Doesn't mean that at all. I've bought a boat from Georgia before myself when I bought my Whaler. I had the guy come to South Carolina. I met him at the state line. I'd gone through the boat, of course, run the numbers, made sure it matched up to him. There was nothing wrong with the boat, ran the whole ID, everything. And those are just extra steps I did to make sure that I was buying a boat that truly was what I was looking at. Again, out of state, that's when you get in trouble a little bit. And you just want to make sure out of state, the best thing you're going to have is the registration on the boat. Make sure the registration matches up to the person you're buying from. For instance, if that person's if the registration number's on, ask them to see the registration card, because all states provide a registration card, and you can match it up with the person selling it. That's just a good, easy thing to verify who you're buying from. And when you buy out of state, you really got to make sure the trailer's in good shape. because you can buy one. If you're not prepared, you go around the road. Once you buy it, get, you know, 30 miles down the road, the bearings get hot, been sitting for a few years or whatever, and all of a sudden, boom. Oh, yeah. Smoking trouble comes. You're having to pull over, and you're out there cussing and swearing with a brand new boat that, guess what, is yours now. So those are things to think about, taking extra hubs, which I've done on trips before, too. It sounds like I'm going to the nth degree, but if you don't, you may wish you would have.
I mean, is it like, is it when you buy a used boat like that, is it like as is? I mean, you're taking the risk. It's all on you. You
when
can't
you're buying
take
a boat
back?
From an individual, it's absolutely it's on you.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
You buy from a dealer, there is some protection there, which is what a dealer's going to tell you.
Right.
But typically, dealers are going to add a little bit to it. And you may pay more for a boat, but again, there is some protection provided with dealers who sell boats, used boats as well, because they're going to cover the boat they're selling a lot of times. But even they sometimes will sell boats as is. It is a lot to buy a boat in no matter what state, in this state, out of state. Look at the registration, ask to see the registration card. If the registration is not up to date, that should concern you, because how long has the boat been sitting? If it's not up to date, it probably not been running it. They haven't been running it. Now, how long has the boat been sitting? A motor does not do well sitting up. Two-stroke, four-stroke, doesn't matter. They don't do well sitting up, not running. So the longer it has sat up and not run, the more trouble you may have, the more the carburetor may be, as we all say, gommed up with whatever. Mm-hmm. And in today's world, did they run non-ethanol gas or not? And, you know, that's just one of those things. You run ethanol in a two-stroke motor, it does build up junk in there. It just does. It can gel up sometimes if you don't run it enough and it sits a lot. So those are things to be concerned with. You go to buy a boat, and it's got gas in the tank. So internal tanks, external tanks, other things to consider. You know, if you're buying a John boat, most times it's going to have an external tank. No problem. You can get you a new tank. You can clean the gas out, pour the gas out, and get an internal tank and get some new gas in there. But if you buy a 17 or a larger boat with a center console, 15, that has an internal gas tank, you want to make sure that gas tank doesn't have condensation and water in it, because getting water out of the gas can be tremendously troublesome. So that's something to look at, too. And they make some things that you can put on a stick and actually stick down in the tank and see if there's water in the tank or not. But leaking hulls, boats that sit up a lot will get water in the tank, and that is a buyer beware for sure. I know we're getting close to time, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Been a good night talking about boating. We will definitely hit on Memorial Day on our next show and really get in some boating safety basics and hopefully have a great update for us on the boating bill by then as well.
That sounds fantastic. Great stuff tonight. Learned a lot. We thank you. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you later in the month.
Enjoy it, sir.
Same here, sir. Major Billy Downer from DNR. If you didn't learn something from that, you're not paying attention, because I learned a lot.